Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Like, I want preaching that changes me, that speaks to me, that says, man, this, you know, I want to be fed when I come to church. I want to meet God. I need something from God when I come, and I want to meet Him. This message tonight is for the church. Amen, church? Amen. So, I just, before I get into my sermon, I just have a little word of prophecy about this next season we're coming into. Pastor Matt and I, we do this thing called Bountiful Baskets, and it's a food co-op thing, and you have to order on Monday, and you have about 6 hours to order on Monday to get your basket on Saturday. And if you don't order on Monday, you don't get your basket on Saturday, and it's like $15 for this big basket full of fruit and stuff. And so what God said to me, He said, we are in a now season, and I'm doing things immediately. And you have to be ready and on board, because there's a small time frame. There's a small window of opportunity. And if you miss it, it's going to be gone forever. Amen, saints? God is doing something now. We are in a now season. He's doing things fast. He said that there's great blessings coming for God's faithful people. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming for the church. That there's going to be great things happening in the church, and He wants us to be ready, saints. He says we need to be ready for what He's coming, otherwise we're going to miss this opportunity, and you can't get it back. I'm not talking about salvation, I'm just talking about this next move of God that He is doing, okay? There's a small one of opportunity, and so He's saying, people, my people, get ready. Get ready. Be ready. That means we need to be on guard, we need to be alert, we need to be watching, we need to be ready for what God is doing in this next season. Okay? Amen. We do not want to miss out on this time because of our disobedience. Amen, people? God is not messing around. Okay, He's serious. He's serious. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 14. So Paul's telling the Corinthians here, he says, do not be unequally yoked together with non-believers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. I'm talking about spiritual separation for the believer. Okay? This concept of separation from evil is fundamental to God's relationship with His people. This is what is referred to as sanctification, folks. Sanctification means to make holy, to consecrate, to separate from the world, and to be set apart from sin so that we may have intimate fellowship with God and serve Him. Somehow, somewhere, this concept of sanctification has been left out of the gospel. And in America, it's produced a lukewarm church. Apathy. sanctification has always been God's will. Always. It was God's will for the Israelites in the Old Testament. They were to live holy and sanctified lives, separated from the lifestyles of the nations around them. This is in Exodus chapter 19. And I meant to email the things so you guys could look up on the board, but you can write them down, yeah. You can write them down, that's right. Take good notes, write it down. Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 3, says, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him unto the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. See, it was always God's will to have a body of people that were holy and consecrated unto Him. From the beginning, a nation, he says, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation set apart for God's service. And why was this? It was so that the other people around you would know who God was. Amen. Yes. Since the beginning, folks. Since the beginning, he's wanted a holy, consecrated, set apart group of people in order to show other people around you who God is. That He's a lover, He's a blesser. These are things, and we now, as the New Testament church, we are to be that bride. Folks, Israel messed up. And now, we are that bride. That is what our purpose is as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, is to show other people around us who God is. What He looks like. How wonderful He is. Amen? That's consecrated. That's set apart for Him. Sanctification is an instant act by which the believer by grace is set free from Satan's bondage and makes a clear break with sin in order to live for God. But at the same time, it is a lifelong process by which we continue to put to death the misdeeds of the body. We are progressively transformed to Christ's likeness. We grow in grace and we exercise a greater love for God and for others. There's a part of sanctification that's instantaneous. When Christ comes in, when you're born again and you become a new creation, that is instant. But then there's a process of sanctification that's a lifelong process. Of continuing to overcome the flesh, continuing to overcome Satan. Amen? Amen? Separation or sanctification does not imply absolute perfection, but it is an ethical righteousness of unblemished character demonstrated in purity, obedience, and blamelessness. It's not absolute perfection. Perfection, folks. But it is a righteousness, not of ourselves, but of Him who lives inside of us. By the grace we have been given, we have died with Christ and are set free from sin's power and dominion. Those of us in Christ we have been set free from sin. We have been. 1 John 3:8 says, This was the reason that the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He was manifested to destroy sin. He was manifested to destroy all the works of the devil. Amen? Romans 8 talks about the spirit versus the flesh. And he says, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. But if Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And it goes on to say, and so if the Spirit dwells in you, you have life. But if you don't have the Spirit, you're in death. And he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to live after the flesh. Because if you live after the flesh, you will die. So he says, we're debtors, but not to live after the sinful nature. Now that word there, die, is translated as literal spiritual death. He says, but if you live after the Spirit, you will live eternally forever. And so he says, therefore, we are debtors, not to our flesh, but to Him who redeemed us, to mortify the deeds of our body through the power of the Holy Spirit that He has given us. Amen? Does that make sense? Read Romans chapter 8. You'll figure it out. Just write that down, Romans chapter 8. We are debtors then to live for Christ. We are debtors to live after the Holy Spirit, to conform to His will. That's what we're in debt to. Not to our flesh. We're not in debt to our flesh anymore. We've been set free. We've been set free. That's that process of sanctification. Therefore, we do not need, or we ought not need, to sin. But we can find adequate victory in our Savior. Through the Holy Spirit, we are able to not sin. Even though we never come to the place that we are free from temptation and the possibility of sin. We are free to not sin, but you're never free from the temptation to sin. Does that make sense? As long as you live in this fleshly body, you will want to sin. This is why He came to live inside of us, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, not of ourselves, because the Israelites proved that they could not do it of themselves. So God says, I'm going to go dwell in them, so that through my Spirit they can overcome that sinful nature. That does not mean we're not still tempted. And there is a huge difference between struggling with sin and giving ourselves over to sin. Do we know the difference? Struggling with sin, because folks, as long as you live in this body, you're going to struggle against the flesh. So we struggle against sin. And I will tell you this because I know it to be true. I know it for myself. The more I am in prayer, the more I'm in the Word of God, the more I'm around godly people, the less I sin. The less I'm in prayer, the less I'm in my Word of God, the less I'm around godly people, the more I want to sin. I find it harder to resist temptation. But the more I'm constantly filling myself up with the Holy Spirit, the more I can overcome that sinful nature through Him. Not of myself, not of your own strength. We cannot do it of our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. And we can be victorious over it. Amen? This concept of separation has two parts. So we must separate ourselves morally and spiritually from sin and from everything that is contrary to Jesus' righteousness in God's Word. We also must draw near to God in a close and intimate fellowship through prayer, worship, the Word, and loving service. So it's a separation from the world, but a drawing near to God. Okay? Folks, you can't do it on your own. Don't even try. I mean, you can try, but you're going to fail. We cannot do it on our own. But Scripture claims that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can mortify the deeds of the body. He says it. It claims it. It says it. And I don't know about you, I believe it. God said it. I believe it. I'm going to hold to it. Do I struggle with stuff? Yes. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I don't struggle with stuff. But I will tell you the things I struggled with last year, I don't struggle with now. Because I'm drawing nearer to Him. Things that I struggled with when I first got saved 20 years ago, I don't struggle with now. Because I'm drawing nearer to Him. Those sins have been gone. Those have no power over me anymore. Now it's new stuff. And it's a struggle. But we don't give ourselves over to it. We struggle against it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We allow Him to work in us in order to overcome that flesh. Folks, you want power and victory in your life? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, get free from sin and you're going to experience peace of mind. You will experience victory like never before. Man, your circumstances may not look good, but you get that struggle out, there's freedom. So what are we called to be separated from? We're called to be separated from the corrupt world system and from unholy compromise. Look at Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." He says, "Have nothing to do with them, but rather reprove them." That word reprove means to correct gently. This is not, you know, driving down the road, you know, screaming out the window, "Repent!" You know, or people standing on their soapbox, you know, "Repent!" Folks, that doesn't work. This is gently. This word, reprove is correct gently. Right? Gentleness, kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. This means, folks, that we are not neutral. We're not neutral. Hello? Listen, I am tired of the church having to tiptoe around the world. I'm tired of it. I've had too many Christians say, "Well, we need to be supporting human rights." And by that, they mean gay marriage. Yeah, I said it in church. Sorry. It's wrong. It's a sin. It's sinful. You cannot separate your Christian walk from something that's sinful. You there's no neutral ground. It's either right or it's wrong, folks. There's no middle ground here. There's no neutral ground. How loving is it to watch people go down a path of destruction to hell and you're condoning it all the way? Not on my watch. Not on my watch. As long as I have breath in me, I will intercede and pray. And I will expose the works of darkness. Folks, the church should have nothing to do with the works of darkness. It says reprove them. Bring correction to it. Bring light to the darkness. That's what we're called to do. Gently. Reprove gently. Folks, there's a right way and a wrong way to do stuff, okay? There's a right way and a wrong way to do stuff. We are called to be separated from those in the church who refuse to repent. Uh-huh. Oh. That's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Get verses, starting verse 9, he said, "I write unto you an epistle not to keep company with the sexually immoral, but not altogether with the sexually immoral of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. But now I have written you to not keep company if any man that is called a brother be sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, no, not eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among you that wicked person." See, if you go back in verse 5, Paul says to them, deliver such a one over to Satan. Okay? The whole purpose of this is that someone would be exposed to satanic influence and they would repent and come back to God. Folks, this is not ungodliness. It's not hateful. It is God's will that people repent And if they're blatantly living in sin like that, God says, let them go over to Satan and see what he has to offer, and let them come back to me and see how good I am. This discipline is meant to produce a spiritual reformation and provide hope of mercy and re-entry into fellowship. That's what it's about. It's not about casting aside people or casting away people because they're just too bad. It's always about mercy. It's always about love. It's always about forgiveness. So that they would come back to God. This is what I hear all the time. Crystal, don't judge. Well, the Bible just said, do you not judge them that are within? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? It's not about judging, folks. Most people that say that is because they're not living right. We are, and I'm here, you are your brother's keeper. Why are we not helping them along the way? We're just going to let them go on their merry way. Oh, I'm just loving you. Why did you go to hell? Seriously? Come on. We walk beside these people. We love on them. We want God's best for them, do we not? We can't be hypocrites in this, though. Let me tell you something. I have an area of my life that I'm a hypocrite in. I go running with my dog. And I go on the Seuss Creek Trail. And I try to let my dog poop before we go running. But sometimes he's got to poop on the trail. And so I take him off on the side and I let him poop in the grass. Because you can't see it. Then I'll be running along and I'll see someone else's dog that's pooped on the trail. I'm like, how dare they let their dog poop on the trail? Y'all get it? Just because you're doing something in secret, someone else is doing it in the open. That's a hypocrite, folks. God says, Paul said, get yourself right, then you can see clear to help someone else, folks. It's not about judging. Come on. Listen, if I'm doing something wrong, tell me. Don't let me continue on a sinful walk. Tell me. Please. Save your emails for tomorrow, okay? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Unchecked sin will slowly spread through a Christian community until many are affected by it. It's true. I know it's true because he said it. Listen, these aren't my words. This is the Bible. If you don't like it, then you don't like God's word. This is what God's word says. I'm just a messenger. Okay? We're called to be separated from false teachers, churches, or cults who teach in error and deny biblical truth. Folks, this is anybody that does not line up 100% with the Bible. If they're preaching, if their cult, whatever, doesn't line up with the Bible, folks, they are in error. Okay? Our attitude of separation must be one of a hatred towards sin and unrighteousness in the corrupt world system. Psalm 97:10 says, you that love the Lord hate evil. He said, we are to love what God loves and hate what he hates. God hates evil. Folks, here's the thing. Sin separates from God. If there is unrepentant sin, it is separating them from their God. Sin separates, folks. Sin is ugly. Sin destroys lives. It does. Can we just get that heart in us that looks at people and says, that is destroying their life? A truly regenerated believer made one with Christ and dwelt by the Holy Spirit will love what God loves and hates what God hates. We cannot remain neutral or silent with respect to the works of darkness. Listen, just because you have a past does not mean that you cannot still speak out against that sin. Now listen, there's a lot of people that come out of the world into Christ. And guess what? You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. That means the old has passed away and the new has come. When Paul's listening to stuff, he says, you know, he lists these adulterers and all this sort of stuff, and he goes, and such were some of you, but now. Such were some of you, but now. You were an adulterer, but now you are washed. You were an idolater, but now you are clean. You were red, but now you're white as snow. You were, but now. But now. And so, a lot of people get this, well, you know, I've had abortion in my past, so I can't minister to somebody else that had an abortion. Well, sure you can, because you've been washed, you're clean, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. If you will get that revelation down in your spirit, it will change the way you walk. We're a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. So that means whatever is in your past is in your past. And you can minister to anybody about anything. I don't care if you did it in your past. If you did it in your past, God gives you more grace to minister that. I've seen it. He does. Especially with sexual sins, folks. In your past, God gives the person who went through sexual sins more grace to minister to people in their sexual sin. That's the way he works. More grace. He gives them more grace. We are either what God says we are or we're not. That's why we got to get in the Word of God. Either God's right or he's wrong. Either he said it or he didn't. Either he is or he isn't. Either you're a new creation or you're not. If you're in Christ, I'm a new creation. I don't want anything to do with my past. I'm not that person anymore, praise God. I'm not that person anymore. So when I minister to somebody about something I went through, I can minister to them about it. Not like, well, you know what, I committed adultery, so you're okay, so keep committing adultery. Now how does that make any sense? But we do that with certain sins, do we not? Well, just keep doing that, or it's okay. And no, you're a new creation. You can minister that grace to other people. Now, our attitude of separation, a hatred towards sin. But we need to have a genuine love for those from whom we must separate. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Look at this in Galatians. Man, time flies when you're up here. Whew. Can't ever find Galatians in here. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So God is telling us to separate. Folks, he's not saying have nothing to do with them. That's not what he means. He means be you unequally yoked with non-believers. We don't have these close personal friendships where we bear our souls to people that are not in the truth. But we are friendly. We're loving. We have to have a genuine love for those people that we are to separate from. We have to. Folks, because we are God's light. If we're not showing them the way, who is? Who is? The word restore here means to complete fully. Restore one, complete fully. This was used for mending fishing nets. And I think about that, right? Mending a fishing net, that was their livelihood. This word restore was to mend these nets in order so they could capture a bunch of fish. Restore this person. Complete them fully. This means to restore someone back to their original purpose and intention. Folks, that's what our job is as the church, is to restore people back to their original purpose and intention. Amen? We need to have a genuine love for those people that God says, be you separate from them, but love them. That means, listen, it was the same thing with the children of Israel. Folks, God is not a warmongering, hate-filled, trying to kill everybody. Because reading through the Old Testament, you're like, oh my gosh. He was trying to preserve a people for himself, separated from the pagan ways, because he knew. And it happened, right? When you read through the Old Testament, it happened that the Israelites would just take on all the practices of the pagans. And they adopted it as their own. And all of a sudden, they weren't God's holy people anymore. And so as the bride of Christ, we've got to maintain the integrity of the church and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not conform to the world or accept its ways, but at the same time, we have to love them and show them the truth. Amen? In Romans 9, I love what Paul says here. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I do not lie. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He's saying he would, if it was possible, that he would give up his salvation for his brethren. That's some powerful love, folks. My brethren, the Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever. Amen. See, Paul had a ceaseless and concern and sorrow for those without Christ. Folks, so much so that he said, if it were possible, I'd give up my salvation for them. This same attitude of grief and a willingness to suffer for the salvation of others should exist in us. A willingness to suffer for the salvation of others. That's powerful, is it not? We must have a fear of God as we pursue holiness. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This fear of God, people, my daughter just asked me the other day, what does it mean to fear God? You know what it means? He is God and you are not. I don't know how else to explain it. He is God and we are not. He is the creator. I am the creation. He is the potter. I am the clay. He formed me out of dirt. How hard is that to understand? I guess for a kid, it's probably hard to understand. That's just what it means that he is God and we are not. That's a healthy fear of God, folks, that he is God and we are not. Amen? We cannot claim God's gracious promises without a life of separation and holiness. Now here's the other part. We will suffer persecution for the sake of righteousness and the gospel. Peter said, do not worry about the fiery trial that's going to come your way. There's persecution. When you stand up, folks, make no mistake, when you stand up for the word of God, when you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up for the whole gospel, when you even stand up and say, the Bible's true and it's for today, you're going to be persecuted. Listen, and it's just getting worse in the world. It's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. We're going to be more persecuted. Praise God, we live in America right now where we can have freedom of assembly and we can still have our Bible. There are countries now that you cannot do that. They have to go underground. But we will suffer for righteousness. If he did, make no mistake, you will. So you're in good company. Amen? The purpose of this separation is that we as God's people would persevere in faith, purity, and godly love. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of Him. Right? The separation will God's people to persevere in faith, purity, and godly love. Okay? This purpose of separation is that we would love God with an undivided heart. Right? The greatest commandment is Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your soul, all your body, all your everything. We are to love Him first. And see, people have it backwards. They want to love people first and then love God. Folks, you can't. You love Him first, and then through loving Him, we can love other people with the love of God. Not a worldly love, but a godly love. And so this causes us, if we love God first, it will cause us to have a single-minded heart, right? Not a double-minded heart. Not a divided heart. This is that purpose of separation too, folks, is that we need to not have a divided heart. We can't. Either you will love the one and hate the other. So if we're living in the world and trying to serve God, something's going to happen. Either you're going to start loving God and hating the world, or you're going to start loving the world and hating God. He said, you're divided, right? We can't serve two masters. So this last purpose of separation is that we as God's people would be a light in a dark, unbelieving world, testifying about the truth and blessings of the gospel. We are to be, Brother Ryan preached it last week, we are to be a light and salt in the world. Folks, and if we look like the world, why does anybody want God? If we look like everybody else, why are they going to want what we have? We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to look differently, act differently, walk differently. We are supposed to be God's, we are God's chosen holy people, folks. Philippians 2:15, and I'll close with this. Hopefully I didn't run over there. Philippians 2:15. I'll start in verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are to shine as lights in the world. So folks, we are to look different, right? Man, we have the power of God living inside of us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That's pretty amazing. It is amazing. The people of this world are in deception and darkness and have a distorted view of life, values, and religion. They follow immoral ways of life and reject the norms of the Word of God. But God's children have a different worldview and values and are thus separated from the world. In loyalty to the Lord, we are to be blameless, pure, and without fault in order to proclaim His glorious redemption to the lost world. Amen? And like I said, folks, this is not of our own strength. And he's given us the Holy Spirit in order to do this. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Are you kidding me? That's some power. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, cleanse us. Sanctify us, purify us, Father, as a holy body unto you, God, that we might show forth your praises to the world. God, let us bring light into the dark places, Father God, that we can be the people that you have chosen and called us to be, a people for you, by you, Lord, to live out your will in this world, Father God. Father, I'm asking you, God, to stand in the gap, that you would forgive us our sins, Father God, and help us to forgive others that have trespassed against us. Bring unity to the body of Christ, not just this church, to the body of Christ, God, that we would come together as one, Lord, the global church, as one, under your name, Lord, to take down and conquer the enemy, Father God. Let us bring light into darkness, Father. I'm just asking you tonight, God, that just show us those areas and cleanse those areas that you want out of our life, Father, that we might walk before you, God, in the light, walking with you, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sins. We thank you for the new creation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, God. We love you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.